John already mentioned, we are continuing our series entitled Rhythms of Rest. Now, what was very interesting about this one as we're planning and getting ready for it, we plan our series a little bit in advance. We're praying, we're saying, Lord, where would you lead us? And what we do is I bring that to our leadership team and ask them. I bring these ideas and I give it to them, and then we kind of bounce ideas off of each other. We pray together. Sometimes I'll bring up something and they'll say, you know, that is what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me too. Sometimes I bring something to them and they say, that is something far worse. And so we throw that out the window. It's a great check for me. When we had the conversation over this series, when we started talking about rhythms of rest, I asked them, what does the Sabbath look like in your life? I said, I need help with it. I'm a self-diagnosed recovering workaholic. I need help with rest. What does the Sabbath look like in your life? And you want to know the response? This is the response. If I had a cricket sound effect, I would have played it. And so that's what told me immediately. We all need help with rest. We all need help with this idea of the Sabbath. In fact, I can even go so far as to say this. As a culture, as a church, as a Christian culture, whatever phrase you want to use, we have forgotten the Sabbath. In our daily lives, we have missed the deeply theological, the deeply profound roots of the Sabbath and why God would even give it to us in the first place. In fact, it's often said that the Sabbath is the one command that we, especially in the Western world, especially in America, we tend to brag about breaking. We see it as an encouragement, as a good thing, when we break the Sabbath. How can I say that? Well, if you look at just kind of work tendencies, if you look at statistics looking at the American worker, we find out that on average, which by the way, there's no such thing as an average person, but work with me here. On average, Americans work more than any other developed industrial nation in the world. We work somewhere around 167 hours more per year on average than the Japanese. We work somewhere around 260 more hours a year than the British. We work around 499 hours more per year than the French. Granted, they're the French. But, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. If you're here and you're French, forgive me, s'il vous plaît. All right. The average American worker that's full-time, okay, we're looking at specifically those who are full-time, work 47 hours per week. One in four work 50 or more hours per week. One in five work 60 or more hours per week. And so if a full 20% of our workforce, of our people that work full-time, are working 60 hours a week or more, that's just a fifth of it. You keep going on from there. And then when we bring this idea that says God wants you to rest, yeah, I'll do that when I have time. I'll do that when things slow down. I'll do that when my kids move out. I'll do that when I get that promotion that takes me off the road and in the office. I'll do that later, except later just never comes. And then because of our heavy workloads, or because we have this tendency to fill our leisure time, our free time with things that, if we're just kind of honest with ourselves, don't really matter, extremely trivial, we find that we are hurrying from one thing to the next to the next. John Ortberg asked his mentor, Dallas Willard, who's a mentor to many, many pastors, preachers, Christians. He's wrote many books. And he asked him, what do I need to do to be the best me I can be, meaning the best me with Jesus? And Willard's answer was that you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. When we are ruled by hurry, we don't have time for relationships. We don't have time for each other. We don't have time for God. And what we find when we're in such a hurry, when we're trying to move forward to go, 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 and the people around us aren't moving as quick, we get pretty frustrated with them. Can we be honest for a second? How many of y'all, if you have kids in the home or had kids in the home, how many fights did you have in the morning about trying to get to school on time and people just aren't moving? They're not hurrying. Amen to that. In fact, sometimes, what's really interesting about this is that just about everybody gets it. This isn't something that I have to build up and try to sell you, just because everybody knows that we are hurried, we're driven, and we're out of breath by the end of the day. In fact, you even find it in children's movies. I'm going to show you a clip right here. And in there, we're going to find a rabbit, children's movie, a rabbit that is hurrying, trying to go. And the rabbit meets, in this sense, really, an arch nemesis of her hurry. I want you to watch this and see if you find yourself within her situation at all. Watch this with me.
This was going to be quick.
What are you saying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast? I thought in Zootopia, anyone could be anything.
Flash, flash, 100-yard dash. Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Hey, Flash, I'd love you to meet my friend. Darling, I've forgotten your name.
Officer Judy Hopp, CPD, how are you?
I am doing just
fine,
as well as I can be. What?
Hang in there.
Can I do?
Well, I was hoping you could run a play
for you.
Well, I was hoping you could
today.
Well, I was hoping you could run a play for us. We are in a really big hurry.
Sure. What's the plate?
29 T
number.
29 THD03
THD03 D.
Mm-hmm. 03.
03. Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
Okay. What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know. What do you call a
three-humped camel?
Three-humped camel.
Pregnant.
Very funny, very funny. Can we please just focus on the time?
Hey.
Wait.
Priscilla.
Oh, no!
Yes? Flash?
What? Do...
No!
You call...
A three-humped camel! Pregnant! Okay, great, we got it! Please,
pumped. Here...
Yes. Hurry,
you...
Thank you! 29THD03...
Go.
Anybody see yourself within that? I know that pretty well describes many of our mornings, just simply trying to get moving. We're in a hurry. And when we're in a hurry, what's our arch nemesis? People who aren't. When I would take my kids to the daycare, I can't tell you how many arguments and fights and whatever I've seen between parents and kids because they're trying to get the kids from the car to the daycare. It's a trip of about 20 feet, if you think about it. And the parents were obviously late for work, in a hurry, something, and that three-year-old was interested in what three-year-olds are, which is there's a rock and there's some grass and there's whatever else, and it just doesn't go well for them. We've forgotten the Sabbath. We have forgotten what it is to slow down and just be in the moment. Instead, we find ourselves consumed and ruled by hurry so that we can hurry from one to the next to the next. And when we do that, we don't have time for anything or, unfortunately, anyone else. We find that we miss out on the really big things in life. And we look back and we might say, well, I got a lot done. But then we find out, I just really missed it. And so within this, by the way, God knows our temptation to hurry. God knows that we are driven to keep going, 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 going. And in fact, built into our wiring as humanity, built into who we are, he has wired something to help us slow down, to help us be in the moment, to help us have time for relationships with him and with everyone else. And he calls it the Sabbath. That's the purpose of the Sabbath in our lives, that we as a culture have forgotten. And so today what I want us to do is, if it's true that we've forgotten the Sabbath, today I want us to take a look and see, well, what is the Sabbath? And more importantly, this. When I was working way, way, way too much, late teenage years, early 20s, somewhere in there, I was working at a fast food joint down in Jeff City, and we would have about 50 or so employees there together, and I would get more overtime than everyone else put together. And that was not abnormal. Like I'm saying, self-diagnosed, recovering workaholic. I need help in this area. But whenever I would hear of rest, when I would hear of taking a day off, or whenever I would hear of Sabbath, my first thought was, well, that's just an excuse to not work. Anybody felt that way? If that's your first excuse, or if that's your first thought when Sabbath comes to mind, working too much. But today I want us to see the deeply theological roots and the reasons behind the Sabbath that God gives us. And so if we have forgotten the Sabbath, let's start someplace basic. What is the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is many things, but today I want us to see this. The Sabbath is a gift. Above anything else, the Sabbath is a gift that God gives us to bless us in our humanity, to bless us as his people. Just as a loving parent gives good gifts to their children, God gives us the Sabbath. And we see this, by the way, all the way at the beginning of God's people, at the foundation and the formation of his people. Picture this with me. God's people, the Israelites, they were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. Can you imagine how long 400 years is? How long has America been a country? About 250, give or take. For 400 years, God's people were enslaved, or they were worked all day, every day, in many cases worked to death, where they were oppressed, where their whole life was dictated to them by someone else. And when the Egyptians, when their overlords, when they thought that the Hebrews, that God's people, they were getting too numerous, they would just get in the habit of starting to kill a bunch of their children to keep them under control. This is what God's people felt and endured and knew. And it's just the way that it was. And then one day, God sent Moses, and through an amazing chain of events, brings his people out of Egypt, brings them out of slavery into freedom, known as the Exodus. The event that's quoted probably more than any other event throughout Scripture, all through the Bible, God points back to the Exodus. Just as I brought you freedom before, I'll bring you freedom again. And as they're going in the wilderness, as they're going to the promised land, God has them stop right around the mountain. And he gives them what are known as the Ten Commandments. They were known as the Ten Words at the time. You see, God had brought his people out of Egypt. Now he needed to get Egypt out of his people. He needed to give them basic morality. This is how we live. This is who we are as my people, as God's people. And in there, we have these Ten Commandments. We have the fourth commandment, which deals specifically with the Sabbath. I want us to see that today. If you have your Bibles, open them up. We're in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus is the second book of the Bible, way towards the beginning. Exodus chapter 20. And let's see what God has to say to his people as he is showing them how to live not lives based on oppression, not lives based on slavery, not lives based on all the pagan deities within Egypt, but lives based on living with God and living as God's people. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." God's saying, not only are you not going to work, don't just give the work to somebody else. Take a Sabbath. Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." What's interesting about this command, the fourth commandment, if you look at it in relation to the other 10, the fourth by far is the longest. It takes up the most space. Some of the other commandments are real simple. Don't steal. There's no explanation given. There's no picture given. It's just it. Don't steal. But yet here, God felt like he needed to elaborate to show his people what he means by remembering the Sabbath. And notice it says there, he doesn't say, keep the Sabbath, observe the Sabbath, do the Sabbath. He says, remember the Sabbath. It's been said that God is into remembering because we are into forgetting. So he says, remember. Remember the Sabbath. Don't forget it. Don't do what our culture has done today, which is forget the Sabbath. Remember it. And what is the Sabbath? We talked about that last week. The word for Sabbath just simply means to stop. To stop what? To stop work. To stop worrying. To stop wanting. To just take a day, step back, and stop. And be present in what God has for us on that day and every day. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, how do we do this? Well, if you've given gifts to your children, you know what this is like. When Christmas comes around and when we box up and package and wrap up a couple of different boxes of Legos for our kids, my kids don't honor me. They don't bring me joy in that gift when they open it, say thanks, and toss it to the side. Or when they open it, and then they look at the box, and they're studying the box, and they come to me, and they say, "Dad, guess what? We have memorized that box. We can tell you everything that's on it. In fact, we can even tell it to you in Greek. Watch out now. That doesn't bring me any joy with it." What brings me joy is seeing them tear open the box and building the airplanes and scenes and whatever it is, and then using those to play with each other, to act out things together. They bring me joy in that gift when I see them enjoying it. We remember the Sabbath. We honor God in the Sabbath when we enjoy it, when we take a moment to delight, to stop, to worship God. Moses is telling his people, God is telling his people, take a day, 1 day out of 7, and stop. Imagine how radical that would have sounded to them. It sounds just as radical as it does today when we are overworked, when we're high strung, when we're anxious and nervous, and then we're told, "Oh, I need to stop for a day." They felt the same thing. Remember, in that culture that they came out of, they worked all day, every day, so that they could have just enough. And then when God says, take a day and rest, take a day and don't work, they're going to wonder, who's going to provide that day? How am I going to have enough food for that day? Remember, the vast majority of the people, they weren't working to fund a retirement account. They were working to fund the dinner table that night. It was a day-to-day living. And so God tells them, take a day and step back. Who's going to fill the dinner table that night? God says, I've got that. I've got that covered. I've heard it said that the Sabbath is 1 day a week where we step back and we remember that God is God and we're not. The universe can get along fine without us for 1 day. That is the Sabbath. But this isn't, by the way, even though we're way towards the beginning of our Bible, this isn't the first time we hear the Sabbath. When Moses shared this with his people, he wasn't sharing anything new. In fact, he was sharing a rhythm of life that was by that time centuries old, thousands of years old, all the way back to the very creation, as old as the earth itself, we find the Sabbath. Flip back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Go past the table of contents and just keep flipping, and it'll get right there. Genesis chapter 2. This is what it says. This is the creation, by the way, and something I want you to notice. All through Genesis 1, God speaks the world into existence, and then we find this rhythm, evening and morning, the first day. Don't need those. Evening and morning, the second day, on and on and on. But the seventh day is just slightly different. It says this, "Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." Pause for just a moment. God rested. Did you hear me there? God rested. God had a busy week. God had a productive week. Sometimes we think like our weeks are full and productive. And we're thinking, oh man, I answered so many emails. I got these things all set up. I took care of the house this week. I nailed it. God just created the heavens and the earth. And this week, no big deal. And he rested. Let that sink in to your heart and your soul. Especially when you find yourself saying this, I don't have time to rest. God rested. I have too much work left to do. God rested. If I don't do this today, it will all fall apart. God rested. God rested. That's the message right there. Within his design, he rested. And then it goes on, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested. The reason why this is important, O church, is this. We are not machines. You are not a machine. You are not created to be overworked, high-strung, and stressed out. You are not created to waste your life going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to be constantly ruled by hurry of either some to-do list that no one could ever complete, or to go from one thing to the next in a life full of trivialities, things that just simply don't matter. Anything from spending 10 hours a day on social media, on Facebook, to spending 10 hours a day watching CNN or Fox News. You were not created for that. You were created to have a deep relationship with your Father, God in heaven. That's why he created you, to know him deeply and intimately. Let me share a few things with you about the Sabbath from the Exodus passage and the Genesis passage. First, Sabbath was built into the rhythm of creation. It is inherent in who we are within humanity. We cannot get away from the Sabbath within our lives. Either we can intentionally pursue the Sabbath, and it'll be a time of rest, a time of delight, a time of joy, a time of worship, or our bodies will force us to rest as they shut down and break down and our relationships fall apart. Then we'll have rest. But it won't be a time of joy and delight. We can break the law of Sabbath. We can break the rhythm of Sabbath just as well as we can break the law of gravity. It doesn't make any sense to try. Sabbath is inherent in who we are. And so if the Sabbath means to stop, you know, it's put in the negative, don't do this, don't do that. That's how the command was given in Exodus, don't work, and make sure they don't work, and they don't work, and they don't work. The question becomes, okay, well, what do I do on the Sabbath? It's a great question. Answer it by answering this question. What is it that you could do for a day that would bring you great joy in God? What is it that you could give a day to have a day of deep delight, to be able to walk away from that day and say, I am refreshed in God, to say it just as the hymn that we sung, it is well with my soul. It could be taking a walk. It could be reading a book. It could be going to your kids' games. Whatever it is, reconnecting with your family, reconnecting with your spouse, taking a day to pursue a hobby, taking a day to pursue the beauty of God's creation. What is it that you could do? You see, Sabbath is not a time to just sit on the couch all day. It's an active time. Rest doesn't mean no activity in this sense. Rest means we're going to give ourselves completely to things that matter, so that when we are tired at the end of the day, we can sit and relax and rest knowing I live today for all that it is and all that I could. Sabbath is built into the rhythm of creation. Next, God blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. It's interesting that the first time in all Scripture that we see the word holy, which just simply means set apart from God. God didn't create a person as holy. God didn't create a place as holy. God created a time as holy, as set apart for him. In this sense, the Sabbath, it's like a great cathedral of time. It is the way that God decorates time, to set it apart, to have oneness with his people. God blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Now, Sabbath is not the same as a day off. Sabbath requires discipline. It's not the same as a day off. You see, a day off is the day when we do all the unpaid work. It's when we catch up on laundry and mow the lawn and do all of the other things that we need to do, but if we're honest, we don't really want to do. And sometimes we wish we had the money to pay somebody else to do. That's a day off. The Sabbath is a day to intentionally pursue God, to pursue fulfillment, to pursue all that he has for us. When we view the Sabbath as a day off, what we're doing is we're robbing it of its beauty, of the beauty of the Sabbath to be able to pursue God and pursue each other. We're robbing the Sabbath of its intent and its design to bring us fulfillment, to have a day set apart where we don't need to give it to our boss, we don't need to give it to our chore list. We give this day to God and all that he would have for us. And lastly, I've already mentioned that Sabbath requires discipline. It doesn't just happen. You see, before I thought that those who rested, those who did the Sabbath were just an excuse to be lazy. It's the exact opposite. To do Sabbath, to Sabbath well, requires discipline. You cannot be lazy and Sabbath. They don't go together. You see, the Hebrews of old, they would have the day before the Sabbath as the day of preparation, in which case they would take that day and they would do all the chores that they needed to be done so that on the Sabbath, they could Sabbath well. What does that mean for us? Maybe that day of preparation, it looks like this: cleaning up the house, answering emails, answering phone calls, whatever it is we need to do, setting our schedule for the Sabbath day. Maybe on the Sabbath, you're going to meet with someone you haven't seen in a while. Go ahead and get that scheduled. For some, it might mean to meal prep. That way on the Sabbath day, it's just really easy to have dinner. Others find great joy in cooking. So for them, cooking is part of the Sabbath. You see how it ebbs and flows for each of us. But it requires discipline. And Sabbath is a gift. It is a vital part of our spiritual formation. Believe me when I say this. We cannot be mature spiritual followers of Jesus apart from the Sabbath. Let me say that again. We will not get far in our journeys with Jesus unless we leave time to Sabbath and to Sabbath well. Time spent with God, with his people. How can we grow in our faith if we're overwhelmed by hurry and if we're overwhelmed by our to-do list and all the things that need to get done? Now, this sounds like I'm putting a lot on you. I hear that and I feel that, but that's not it. Remember, the Sabbath is a gift. All of these things that we're talking about, these are invitations. Can you make it through this life without Sabbath? Maybe. It won't be fun. It won't be fulfilled. God gives us this invitation to Sabbath. All these other ideas that I'm giving about the day of preparation and whatnot, these are invitations on how we can Sabbath well. But as we walk through our journey with Jesus, if you've been with us for the past few months, you know that's what we've been walking through together. The Sabbath is a vital, vital part with it. The Sabbath, it gives us, or it teaches us experientially about our relationship with God, about our relationship with people. It pulls us away from the daily grind. And as you start looking at Sabbath, especially if you're joining us for this book right here, this book study that begins on Wednesday, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. If you need a copy of the book, come find me after service. We've got a few I'll share with you. As we start looking through this and start looking at on ideas on how to Sabbath well, don't put yourself in the spot that says, well, I have to do all of it right the first time. Because that turns the blessing of the Sabbath into the curse. Don't turn the Sabbath into another to-do list. Don't turn the Sabbath into something that we've got to hurry to get through so that we can try to experience it. Amen. Amen to that. We're missing it if that's where we go. We take the Sabbath as a process, as one step at a time. And for some, maybe that means that, you know, I'm going to try this Sabbath, and I'm going to try it for an afternoon. I'm going to try to give an afternoon where I can be simply connected with God and with his people. Praise God and go for it if that's where you are. The goal is to get to one day. And why? It's not so that we can work a bunch extra all the other days in order to make room for the Sabbath. When we truly experience this rhythm that God has for us, all the other days are lived differently because we know Sabbath is coming. All the other days of the week, we work and we go about our business. And by the way, that command also said, 6 days you shall work. Work is important. This message isn't about work. But don't leave here saying, well, the pastor said I shouldn't work. No, 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 no. We work hard. That's part of who we are as people. We work hard. We Sabbath well. We have to have both of them. Worship band, why don't you come back up here? One of the greatest things that I've learned from the Sabbath as we try to implement Sabbath in our own lives and in our own family, which, by the way, is a process. Sometimes it feels like we get it a lot better than other times. But one of the things that I've learned, it really points back to my identity as a person. You see, the Sabbath reminds me that I am not my job. I am not my bank account. I am not how clean my house is. I am not defined by any of those things. Sabbath reminds me that I am who I am loved by. Church, at a deep soul level, you are who you are loved by. Jesus, the God of the universe, the one of whom we sang a little bit ago, the one that took our sins, the one that brought us out of our own Egypt, the one that brought us out of our own slavery, he looks on you. And he says, you are called by my name. He gives us the name Christian, little Christ. He tells us that he is not ashamed to call us his brother, his sister. The Sabbath reminds us of that. The Sabbath reminds us experientially, meaning we experience this every time, that there is nothing that we could do to make God love us more. Nothing. It is all an act of grace. The Sabbath reminds us of this. So as we continue talking about rhythms of rest, remember, the Sabbath is a gift. It is a time of rest. It is a time for worship. It is not a heavy burden that God puts on us. It's not another way. If we haven't been keeping the Sabbath, it's not another reason to point out how we've fallen short. It's not any of those things. It's this. God says, are you heavy burdened? Are you heavy laden? Do you feel burnt out? Do you feel like you're growing in your spiritual walk? Come and be with me. I will give you rest. Church, as we close out, let's step into that right now. Sabbath is a time of rest and worship. Let's worship together. Please stand with me.